Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today and give a special welcome to our visitors. We're going to talk today about forgiveness. Preston is talking right now in our Sunday morning Bible class about salvation. Forgiveness is part of that equation. And I don't know, I am assuming that there's been an opportunity for you to forgive somebody in your life. I am assuming that there's been a time when you've sought forgiveness. And I would like for us to look at some of these. This is not an exhaustive study by any stretch of the imagination, but I'd like for us to look at some scriptures and ponder a few ideas on forgiveness. One of the first things about forgiveness, before we can fully forgive others, before a lot of times we can even forgive ourselves, before we can ask for forgiveness, etc., we have to understand God's forgiveness for ourselves. You know, how God forgave us. You know, and the immense love that God had and bestowed upon us. If we don't understand that, we can't fully understand how it is to forgive somebody else and the implications of that. We've used John 3:16 numerous times in various lessons. It is a scripture that I'm sure we've all heard. It's one of the first scriptures ever taught in young Bible classes. But to look at this and to realize what God did for us, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God forgave us of our sins. He still required punishment for sin. He didn't overlook it. He didn't let it slide. But He paid it through His Son. He forgave us of our sins through the sacrifice of His Son. In Romans 5, Paul wrote, "For when we were still without strength," nothing that we could have done, we were without strength, "in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. That is forgiveness. That is the ultimate standard. Nothing that we could have done. Nothing that we deserved. We weren't good enough to deserve it. But Christ died for us. And a scripture that was used recently in Bible class, in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That's forgiveness. And any of our understanding of forgiveness for ourselves, any understanding of what we do to forgive others has to be based on the standard of God. Another area of forgiveness is when we forgive others. I'm sure there's not anybody in here that hasn't been slighted, offended, or have had tremendous trespasses done against you, maybe knowingly, just out and out, willfully to hurt you. And then there's been times things have offended you, hurt your feelings, that the person didn't even know about. We need to forgive others, not only for them, but for us. In fact, it's probably more important. They may not want forgiveness. They may not even be aware of the offense that they've given you. They may not want it. They may not care that you have forgiven them. But do you want to carry that along? Do you want to harbor ill feelings and by doing so, let that fester and be the thing that causes you to go to hell? Is that worth going to hell for? If it is, weigh it out. Because it could keep you from going to heaven. In Matthew 18, verse 15, Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." This verse is a whole lesson in and of itself. How to go about it? How to go about it? Get them aside. Talk to them privately. You might find out that all this offense that you're all been out of shape about may not even really be anything to be concerned about. Once you talk it through, you might realize he didn't mean it. I took it the wrong way. Things like that. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. Later on in that same chapter, Peter, after Jesus had been talking about forgiveness, Peter comes up and says, then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And I picture Peter kind of feeling good about this, trying to impress Jesus. You're talking about forgiveness. I'll take it the extra mile. I'll forgive him. Should I forgive him seven times? Now, I don't know about you. I can't think of any time that a person has offended me or have sinned against me or have insulted me or something like that. Seven times. Kind of shame on me if I keep letting them do that, but I can't think of, I can think of a time where maybe a person has offended me a few times. But I can't think of seven. And here's Peter coming to Jesus. Should I forgive my brother seven times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." We've always heard, Jesus is not giving a number, a specific number. And when they get there, you don't have to do the next one. That's not, Jesus is saying, you're talking seven times, Peter. I'm saying 70 times that. That's how often you forgive somebody. And then just he goes right into the parable of the unforgiving servant. about how a man owes the king an amount of money. And he's taken before him, and he begs and pleads. He's going to be sent off to jail. Begs and pleads, and the king has mercy on him. Forgives him that debt. And so he goes on his way, and the first thing he sees is somebody that owes him some money. A small amount compared to what he had owed the king. He grabs him, threatening him, you know, getting physical with him. And that story gets back to the king. So he calls the guy in, you know, you unforgiving servant. I forgave you all that you owed me. And now you're acting like this. And Jesus goes into this story and parable of the unforgiving servant. And it ends up in verse 35, Jesus says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. From his heart. Have you ever said the words, yeah, I forgive you, but you haven't? You give the lip service. They ask for forgiveness and you forgive them. You say you do, but you still harbor it. You hold it against them. Now, there's a fine line, and I understand this. There is a fine line for consequences of actions and harboring it against them. Jesus says that we must forgive from our hearts. One of the hardest, I'll put it this way, for me, don't know about you, one of the hardest concepts of forgiveness is forgiving ourselves. If somebody comes to us with a heartfelt apology, sorry for what they've done, I do not remember any time that I've ever turned them away without forgiving them. No, I'm not taking your apology. I can't think of that. But you know what? I have sure beat myself up sometimes for things that God has forgiven me for, things that other people have forgiven me for. But I haven't. Forgiving ourselves is one of those hard things to do, at least I'll say for me. Maybe for you also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." Paul's basically saying, here's a wake-up call. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's fairly black and white. And I'm just not talking about the font here on the screen. That's pretty black and white. They don't be deceived. People like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11. And such were some of you. Some were such as you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We need to remember that. When we find it hard to forgive ourselves. Remember what God and Christ did for us. We were washed. We were justified. We were sanctified by God. Mark 11:26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Yes, we need to forgive others, but we have to forgive ourselves too. If we're not willing to forgive ourselves, it says God won't. Not only if we don't forgive others' trespasses, but the trespasses we've committed. And we want those sins forgiven. Mark 12, verse 31, Jesus says, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus had been talking about how you need to put God first in your life. And he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. We need to love ourselves. That can be a lesson down the road. Loving ourselves. We have to. God did. He loved us so much that he gave his son for us. So the next time we start wondering that I'm not worth it, well, God thought it was worth it enough to give his son. And our scripture reading this morning, we read verses 1 and 2, but in verse 1 in Hebrews, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're trying to run a race, this race of life, this race of Christianity. And a lot of times we weigh ourselves down, put on all this extra weight, entangle ourselves with sin, with guilt, with not being able to forgive ourselves. Hope I don't embarrass her, but it nice red complexion would go with that outfit. I don't know how many of you know, Marion was a big-time track star. I bet you before a race you didn't go put on bulky clothes and extra weights. And so, I mean, they get streamlined. They don't want anything holding them up. You don't run a race with all this extra baggage. I wanted to get rid of some baggage yesterday on a hike. My bosom buddy, and you remember this, my bosom buddy Daryl tried to kill me yesterday. We're out hiking, and I mean, we're finding out we're not as young as we used to be. The trail that we've done many times, it keeps getting longer and longer, and they put some boulders in that we didn't see before. But we don't want to pack ourselves down with all that stuff to run that race. And one of those things is forgiveness. Amen. We don't want to try to run a race harboring ill feelings toward others. We don't want to run that race of Christianity with guilt feelings of ourselves, because we're not going to be able to run as efficiently if we do. So in summary, we need to, one, we need to understand God's forgiveness, what it was, what he did, and how much it was important to him to forgive us. We need to forgive others and use God as that example. And last but not least, to forgive ourselves. And that's sometimes the trickier thing to do. If you need to respond to the invitation, If there is sin in your life, sin in somebody else's life, don't be carrying that with you. Forgive them. Don't go to hell. And I'm going to say it again. Don't you go to hell for what somebody else did to you. Don't go to hell for something you've done. Forgive yourself. God forgave us. When we put our Lord on in baptism, as the Scripture says, we were washed. We were sanctified. We were justified. When we put our Lord on in baptism, the blood of Christ washed our sins away. You cannot have that forgiveness if you're not baptized. That's where we come into contact with the blood of Christ. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through casting off those ill feelings towards somebody else, do so. If that somebody else is you, cast it off from you and get back in that race, running full speed for God. If we can help you and you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing.